The first day of the Maryland legislative session is today. Derek Hunter, I know you're excited as you get ready to see what new tax, what new fee, what new toll increase.
Bated breath is baited.
As we get ready for election year.
This Can I just point out that Brian Niemann must be deaf? I think he sits here in the morning show, and he's just about as deaf as you are.
I think that's an unfounded
accusation. I put on these headphones, and it's just, I'm like at front row at a Led Zeppelin concert. Like, give me a break.
Let's not subject Robert Lang to some of these inane in-house
discussions. That's okay. Go ahead.
Robert Lang is not deaf.
No, I'm not deaf.
Robert Lang
I've been called lots of things, but not deaf.
From Annapolis.
Accurately so.
One of our favorite times, Robert, as the 90-day session begins, you and I are junkies for this, and I hear the noise and some of the noise in the background. Now, the first day of the session, Robert, is usually a very celebratory.
It's a ceremonial day.
Exactly.
There are some usual things that happen that make news, but here's what's going to happen. At 12 o'clock, the gavel will bang. We'll come down both in the House and Senate. They will elect the Senate President Pro Tem. Nathaniel McFadden will get reelected to that. Adrian Jones will be reelected Speaker Pro Tem. Mike Bush will be reelected Speaker. Mike Miller will be reelected Senate President. And there'll be some speeches. There will be a brief speech by the governor in both chambers. He'll usually do that pretty quickly. And the minimum wage, of course, is the top item on raising the minimum wage, top item on his agenda. And then already about 250 bills between the House and Senate have been introduced. They're going to be referred to various committees. And then everybody goes to opening day receptions. They bring their families and everything like that. It's like the first day of school. People are wearing new clothes. You used to do that when you were here, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's, I got your lunch packed.
He hasn't bought
like
new clothes since then.
That's absolutely true.
That's the,
but also, let me ask you, Robert, because one of the issues the governor did talk about and Derek talk about is the fact that with the Maryland Health Connections problems occurring, they were going to try some emergency legislation through to address that.
We're hoping to see that bill, if not today, tomorrow, but before the end of the week. That particular bill will basically address the people, and they really can't give you an accurate number how many people are going to be covered by this, but these are people who thought they signed up for health insurance in time to cover it on January 1st. In fact, they don't have a policy, and they don't have a policy due to a glitch in the exchange.
Those glitches,
it could be as many as 5,000 people.
Glitch is going to glitch.
And so that's going to be addressed. Senate President Miller told me yesterday that within the first 2 weeks, there'll be a joint House-Senate hearing, which will not only address this bill, but will also give lawmakers the chance to ask Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown a variety of questions on what went wrong with this health care exchange. And there will probably be further hearings on that as well.
Robert, one of the things that is going to be addressed this session too, Derek has spent a lot of time last day or so talking about it, is the potential legalization of marijuana.
And something interesting happened with that today. Every year there is an Annapolis summit that's held across the street from here at the Calvert House. The governor appears there. The legislative leaders appear there. Our partners at the Daily Record were the sponsor of it this year. The governor said at that forum today that he's not much in favor of decriminalizing marijuana. As you know, you've had Delegate Anderson on. Other delegates are considering doing that. There's also legislation that would basically make Maryland like Colorado, legalizing recreational marijuana. Mike Miller has expressed an idea, at least, if not so much supporting it, at least it should be discussed. I mean, Mike Miller has been, a lot of people describe him as pragmatic in terms of what, you know, what lawmakers are thinking, what thinks he could get passed. You know, he eventually allowed the death penalty repeal to be discussed, and it was ultimately passed last year. He's an opponent of it. He was a longtime opponent of same-sex marriage, but then he allowed those bills to pass the Senate. So this might be the year for that.
Why, Robert, when he speaks like E.F. Hutton, Derek, when he speaks,
everybody listens.
Well, Robert, today the governor's discussion of this and the his not being so much in favor of it. I mean, how tepid was his statement? Was it unequivocal? I oppose this, open to it?
He didn't really say, and we're hopefully going to hear from the governor later today. He feels that the medical marijuana law needs time to work. He also saw, he talked about his experience as mayor, seeing the impact of drug abuse and drug addiction, marijuana and other drugs when he was mayor, and there's still a drug problem in the city of Baltimore. And so the governor is kind of cool pull to the idea, but, and don't forget, yes, and I know this shocks both of you when I say it, there are political implications
to
everything that's being done. Here's, you can see Derek's shocked face. You know, we've got a primary election coming up, and of course the governor's future ambition, so that's something that's always into this.
But Robert, we have a gubernatorial candidate and Delegate Heather Mazur,
yes,
whose candidacy is not...
Mm-hmm.
It's based on that, but
she is running on that.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And, you know, Blair Lee said something earlier this week, and they'll see where, you know, the various Democrats are going to see where their constituents are on this. And it's a Democratic primary. Democrats more in favor of this than Republicans. So they'll, you know, have to wait and see where this legislation goes. One other thing happened here today, and I'll just report, and you can write your own analysis for this, but about 10 o'clock this morning, I came down, and I'm usually here 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's standing outside the building. I go into the building. The police officer tells me, you have to turn around. They just evacuated the building. Well, what happened? For about 10 minutes, this building was evacuated. There was a sprinkler that malfunctioned downstairs in the basement, the sub-basement of the building. An odor filled the building, and people said it stunk. I mean,
was it
one,
the
one
things that the legislators were shoveling?
Well,
the smell?
It
just happened to coincide with the first day of session.
Some days the news writes itself, everybody. And the damage was minimal. Nobody was hurt.
Very good.
Everybody allowed back in after about 10 minutes.
Well, so. Robert, let me ask you about this because you mentioned it in the piece. Go to WBL.com. You can read Robert Lang's reporting from Annapolis. And, Derek, we've kind of talked about it. The whole rain tax, stormwater management fee issue, that will be addressed in some shape, form, or fashion.
You know, the Republicans want it repealed. That's not going to happen.
There are a lot of Democrats who want it repealed because their constituents want it repealed.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a dual loyalty between riding the
leadership is emphatic on not repealing it because they claim it's required by to comply with the federal
EPA.
Law.
Mm-hmm.
The EPA didn't say you must pass a rain tax. The EPA said you must generate enough money to clean up water pollution, and this is the solution they came up with. But there may be ways to modify it. For example, there have been a lot of complaints in churches and other nonprofits about the tax. It may exempt them or impose a lower rate
on them.
Or
it might postpone it beyond November of 2014, Derek.
No way.
Derek again shocked.
A little cynical.
But I raised that because one of the things we were told at the end of last session, Robert, and I think the language is changing, is that nothing can be done. These 10 jurisdictions need to do this, as you just said,
right,
in order to meet EPA standards. But the politics has kind of changed that, as you've heard the outcry from a lot of people in these jurisdictions.
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing it, and you're hearing it in all 10 of the jurisdictions. You're hearing people complain about it in Baltimore City. You're hearing people complain about it in Baltimore County, where the tax was passed, relatively easily compared to some of these other counties. Anne Arundel County, I think, has done three different versions of rain tax.
Well, Robert, we're going to let you go and get ready for the session to begin. You're going to be joining Derek Hunter at 1:30 to
We'll do that. We'll have
things.
Reports on Maryland's News Now. You will have reports on WBL.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Reporter Rob Lang, and that's basically it.
Other gaseous issues?
We'll keep tabs on that. Yes,
Robert
sir.
Lang, as always, thank you so
Take
much.
Take care, C4.